Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today is all about friendship. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? What commonalities make for great friends? And have you been people-pleasing too much? Let's get into it. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Laura.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you too, my dude. We're a little bit into the week and surviving, and I'm very tired. Not that you asked, but I am super sleepy.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry to hear that. I want you to have all of the sleep in the world.
Yeah.
Because it's the best.
I would like that too, but you know what? I'm just going to roll with it. I'm not going to overcommit. I'm just going to let my loopy brain kind of find whatever it feels like talking about.
Are you going to honor the place that you are?
I will honor the place that I am and the person that I am today. Namaste, self, I guess.
Yeah. Perfect. Fantastic.
What about you? What's going on?
I'm feeling great. I've had good sleep for the past couple of days. I've been really prioritizing it.
That's so hot. Oh my gosh.
I mean, it came as the result of me just sleeping too little, experiencing just the tiniest of psychotic breaks, and going, oh, I need to devote myself to rest. I need to be like, okay, my day is over. I am immediately getting ready for bed, or at least physically resting in my bed.
Yeah.
And then just asleep.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm struggling to get that early sleep these days, but
you have been up like a wild person the past couple of days. You're like, I think I'll just be up until 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
for 3 days straight.
I'm building bad sleep habits, Laura. I'm up playing Minecraft in the middle of the night. I'm up like figuring out how to turn our podcast into a faceless YouTube and then on Threads. So I need to stop burning that candle at that end and stop. 7 p.m. I am done. I am settling in. I'm stealing your routine.
I respect the hustle. Yeah. However, it is now Mercury retrograde.
Oh no.
As of April 1st. I'm so sorry to bring this to you guys.
Oh no. That means something bad in the horoscope community.
It is frequently considered bad, but it's actually just a slowdown period.
Oh, okay.
Where apparently your electronics are not supposed to work.
Oh,
and well. Like in defense of that, I have been having a lot of trouble with some digital apps. So, is it astrology? We don't know. We don't know.
Dude, someone reached out to me yesterday and they said, "Hey, are you having trouble getting onto Threads and Instagram?" I am totally. It's failing on me today. And
that's supposedly what Mercury retrograde is about. So like Mercury is associated with the god Mercury, who's all about communications, right? And so during the periods of Mercury retrograde, the idea is that communications will bungle a little and electronics and digital communications will both slow down and break. So yeah, to like our culture, that is very bad. To our highly digitized, highly productivity-oriented culture, they're like, that's big bad. But if you choose to see it this way, it's a nice opportunity for slowing down, resting, being more considerate and purposeful in your actions. And that is your horoscope update for today.
I love it. And I have one question about Mercury being in retrograde.
Wonderful. I am not an expert.
That's okay. You know a little more than I do, and that's all I need. Okay, so Mercury in retrograde means that things are, communication devices are slowing down. Does that also apply to physical communication devices like the mail, letters, passenger pigeons, verbal communication?
All communications.
All communication.
Everything Mercury covers.
So if you're having a hard time communicating right now in any way, you can be like, Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. Fair enough. At least 40% of the population will be like, I accept this from you.
Fair.
Right? Yeah. Like I'm wandering around. Because I go to yoga, there's like a high...
Crunchy?
A high crunchy factor, but like a high tolerance for astrology nonsense.
Oh, for sure.
And sometimes they'll just like bring it up at the beginning of class and be like, well, Mercury's in retrograde, so you've got to plan a little bit more. And I'm like, I love that I live in this reality where people are like, planet says no.
You know, it does make it a little bit more whimsical. I'm not going to lie. That's not bad because life can be so serious if you let it. There's
black and white rules, such gray walls.
Us versus them, blue versus red. It's like, no, just Mercury isn't retrograde and everyone's devices are being silly. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. Anything that can lighten your election year.
Yeah.
But actually, speaking of what's lightening my election year, I had such a good time this weekend with friends, and it has led me to think about friendship as an idea.
Oh, that's great. I did too. Tell me more about that. Friendship as an idea.
Absolutely. So I'm going to reference the 1999 film High Fidelity, based on the book High Fidelity. So John Cusack, right?
Yeah.
He says that what you don't realize is it's not what people are like. In connecting to others, it's about what you like, not what people are like. Mm. And the older I get, the more I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. You find yourself falling in really easily with people who have similar interests.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, almost to the point where personality kind of doesn't matter. Like, I've met a bunch of people in this environment where their personalities are good to great, but their interests are so far away from mine, I have no desire to spend any time with them. Yeah. I have been invited on cold plunges, to rooftop barbecues, on like multi-mile hikes, and all of those things sound awful. And so I don't go.
Yeah.
But then, glorious then, I found people who like to do what I like to do, and I can just do that forever.
Yeah, as I've mentioned before, I do a decent amount of running in my spare time, and I have had to make a very important distinction in my activities. I've had to tell my running people, friends, etc. By the way, just so you know, I am active, but not outdoorsy. I'm not really super into the multi-day camping trips. Like, I'll do it. If I like you enough, I'll go. Mm-hmm. But I might be miserable the first couple days until I acclimate to it. So be prepared for that. But I like going outside for a little bit, but then I like going inside. I like the good feeling that comes from exercise and being active, but I don't want to spend 6 hours in the sun, you know, drinking beer and like getting dehydrated. Like my skin is too sensitive for that.
You're like, I have to be very hydrated, you see. And in a small contained location.
No, it's true. It's true. I don't know. Like, I don't know how I survived in the military, honestly. We were outside all the time. Oh, maybe that's why I don't like doing it, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you had too much outside time.
Oh, so much outside time. Like, I'm good. I like the inside. I like my technology. I like my cozies. I like going outside sometimes, but I don't like spending like 12 to 15 hours outside.
No, dude, like, I love being outside, but being outdoors isn't all that appealing to me. Hmm. I like walking from one place in civilization to another place in civilization in the outsides. Love that. Love an open air mall.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
But the raw, unfiltered wilderness that seems to appeal to so many people in the Pacific Northwest, and of course it should, it's beautiful, that is, to me, not how I want to spend, like, my Saturday. That's something I have to, like, emotionally prepare for several weeks in advance. But then someone will be like, how about a game night? And I'm like, girl, I am there.
Ready. I'm into it. Let's go.
No, I feel like I've unlocked a profound piece of wisdom from the very living human catalog of things. Like, all this time, I thought I was looking for people of certain personality types or people that I had, I don't know, some affinity or attachment to. And certainly that helps. But really, just finding people who are into what you're into.
It's true.
There are unspoken similarities under the surface there that just make for wonderful experiences.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, that's why I have such a good time with the running group, because we're out there, we're running, we're hitting the track, yeah. We're going down some long streets, you know, multiple mile treks. And I love it. I love doing it. And I love having company when I do it. But it's a common interest. And even though I don't necessarily have a lot of other, like, common interests with them, we even have very different personalities, but I just connect with them so easily because we're doing a thing we both love and we're not bored when we're doing it because we have people around us.
Yeah, it's great. Totally. I identified. I thought of myself as an introvert, right? And have actually said this to people, right?
Oh, yeah, you've totally mentioned that.
Yeah, and you identify as an extrovert. Yeah,
I do, yes.
Yes, yes. I think all of this may be a lie, because it is exhausting to do what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And it is revitalizing to do what you want to do. And I think that might be the secret of all of this introvert-extrovert interplay. I think that doing what you want to do will bring people together.
So having an activity with a group of people that is something you want to do will give you energy, and having an activity with a group of people that is something you don't want to do will take your energy.
Yes.
I mean, that totally makes sense. Like 100% makes sense. There's a lot of people out there that just intrinsically do what they want, you know?
Good for them. Just kind of, I love that.
They'll just kind of do what they want. You know, They'll say what they want. They'll go where they want. And you know what? Those are similar impulses. People who talk a lot, people who are considered extroverts, mm-hmm. also tend to be like, I want to do this thing. Because they'll talk about what they want to do and then they'll do it.
Dude, I think I've been socially people pleasing.
Yeah,
I think that's the underlying, the secret narrative beneath all of my discontent platonically. I've just been like, okay, I'll do that. Because I guess I want to be closer to you.
Yeah.
And then I end up doing things that I have no innate interest in, and it grinds against my sense of self. And I just am exhausted for like 8 to 12 hours afterward.
There's no reason for social abnegation, honestly.
Yeah, but I think you have to learn that because it's super easy in school. You guys have so many interests that you're forced to have together. Like totally. You are going to the same classes, you have the same outdoor activities, you have the same sort of non-independence of being a human child. So like you're in prison together and you're like, yeah, as prisoners, we have a lot in common and I really love hanging out with you. And even within that closed institutional context, there are like tribes that develop. Like some kids are artsy, and I'm still in that artsy place. And whenever I find other artsy people, it's still like the commonalities shine through. But then when you're an adult, it is like no holds barred, complete chaos. Everyone starts doing their own thing. Some people are into woodworking. Some people are scuba diving. Some people are cold plunging. Some people are making bracelets. And it becomes harder really to identify the group that is compatible with you. I don't even think it's like an individualistic thing where, you know, I don't get along with this person or I get along with this person. I think it's like broader. I guess the language we used in like 2012 was we're looking for our tribe, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much intelligence in that designation, even though it sounds really, really silly. And I think it also like commingled with all of those YA novels that were like, about putting you into different groups.
Oh yeah, all the divergent groups or
like
the Hogwarts houses.
Are you abnegation? Are you dauntless? Are you, like underneath this narrativization is the actual reality that finding people who like what you like is how you find your people.
Yeah, totally.
Because the fact that you like these things is indicative of a core similarity way back in the psychology that will make you closer. And I always knew this about dating, but I didn't realize it was identical for friendships.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Sometimes.
I think we do. I know I do. I mean, the thing with friends, it is about activities. Like that's the thing that really brings people together. Even if you don't necessarily like the types of people you're around, mm-hmm. but if you like doing the thing with them, you can really have a good time with those people. Yeah. Unless they're being like really, really disruptive or really rude or something, then it's like, okay, all right. Well, even if I like what you are doing and I like doing that together, it's a bit of a deal breaker. But that's kind of a deal breaker anywhere, right? If someone's being really rude or they're like talking about you behind your back or something, like that's kind of a deal breaker, even if you have really similar interests. So yeah, it is all about finding people that have similar interests and then doing that thing with those people. And that's your tribe. It's people that do things like you like to do, that like to read or like to run or like to play video games or board games or card games or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so like my philosophy of life is that you can systematize everything to like make your life easier. Because as long as you've systematized a thing, you have more brain power to put into new things. So that's the benefit of having systems. And I feel like I'm beginning to understand the friendship system, which is very exciting for me because this has been a place of a lot of churn for me in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of like discovering what I like, what I don't like, what I'll tolerate, what I won't tolerate. And some of that is like the interpersonal stuff like, oh, you don't want to hang out with like toxic people who are mean to you all the time. Like, yes, that's true. Regardless yeah. of shared interests, that's a really good note. But now I see like seek out what you like to do and there will be people there. And there you go.
Some people have the opposite problem where they're really good at making the friends and really good at having that connection because they're doing common interest things with those friends. And then they're terrible at dating. They make concessions when they date left and right. Their personality becomes like the person that they're with versus having their own individual thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think in your case, it's been a little bit of the opposite, where like, you know how to date, you figure that out. You didn't compromise in your dating life. But in your friend life, you're like, well, it's probably different, right? Like there are so many different things. Maybe I should like shape myself in the direction of these people that I like and have that be the way that I connect with them. But I think you're totally right. Like just going to people who like what you like and want to do what you want to do is going to be so much easier than trying to become someone else or alter yourself in the process. And yeah. Like some people got it figured out in the friend side and they're bad on the dating side. And I don't know anyone honestly who has it figured out on both. For some reason, we have like these weird compromises that we put ourselves into where we're like, I will change who I am in order to, you know, hang out with this person, even though it exhausts me, but I'm just going to do it anyway. And like, why? Because I think it's a lack of, at least for me, when I find I do that, it's a lack of self-identity.
Okay.
Potentially a lack of, you know, maybe I don't think I deserve to do the thing that I want to do, or I've been so busy trying to people please that I've forgotten what it is I actually do like, what I actually enjoy doing. And then trying to find that while also trying to connect with friends is like, you got to do one over the other. Mm-hmm. You got to like find yourself, find what you like, and then find your tribe. Because otherwise you're just going to constantly be looking for a new tribe, or in the case of relationships, a new relationship, but you'll always be altering yourself and never satisfied.
That's really interesting. So I think about the self as like a constantly evolving entity. And maybe that's why it was so easy for me to like fall into a situation where I was like, okay, I'll do what you want to do to like see if I like it and see if it's for me and see what it can create of myself. Because like a lot of the stuff that we become and get out of life comes from other people,
totally.
Basically, whether it's your family or your partner or your friends, they'll introduce a lot of new things to you that you wouldn't find on your own. That's a really valuable characteristic about relationships of any kind. But because I always perceived myself as a very flexible person, I didn't get too caught up in what my identity was. And so I didn't really build for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the flaws in that strategy is that you just end up never wasting. No time is wasted.
Never wasting.
You end up in a lot of situations where you're like, I don't enjoy this. Like I'm putting a lot of effort into something that I'm not enjoying because of my desired connection to someone else. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you get a platonic infatuation, right? And you'll be like, okay, I'll do those things. Like, you seem to really like them. I don't know them, so maybe I'll like them too. And then you fall into their lives and you're like, everything about this is antagonistic to my sensory experience.
Oh boy.
But now you've learned.
Yeah.
And if you do that enough, you can figure out from the boundaries of what you don't like, what you do like. And I'm beginning to experience friendships where I'm energized after seeing them.
That's great.
Which as an introvert is bananas.
And maybe you're right. Maybe you're not an introvert. Maybe you just are an incredibly generous friend where people want to do things. You're like, sure, I'm down. I'll do that thing.
How bad could it be? Like, how hard could it be?
There is generosity is good. It is appreciated. But there's a point when you give more than you get. Mm. And I think that's a very important point to know when you are hitting it, because I get there too sometimes. Totally. Like in a work environment, I'll adapt to the culture. In a relationship, there are times where I would kind of adjust myself a bit. Friendships too, like, you know, you adjust yourself a bit sometimes, but I think you just have to know when you are giving too much and you're not getting enough back out of the situation or the experience. If you are continuously doing a thing, an activity that you just don't enjoy at all, and it's just draining you and draining you and draining you, at a certain point, you kind of have to, you know, cut your losses and move on, you know? It reminds me of, it reminds me of that movie with, what's her name? Laggies.
Oh, yeah, Laggies.
Yeah, the movie Laggies with Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
And Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, where she's just like in this relationship for like 10 years and his friends are her friends and they've all been friends for
since high school, so like 10 years
since high school, and like it's good enough for her. She's fine, she's having an okay time, you know, but she's not like advancing, she's not like, she doesn't really have anything that's her own. And I just see her as like, this relationship was good enough for her and she just kind of stuck with it, but didn't realize over like 10 years that she kind of lost herself. She lost who she was. Uh-huh. And eventually just has to like leave it all behind, start a whole new life. And she blossoms when she does that, you know? So, yeah, I think it is easy to fall into that. I think a lot of people do in life with, in relationships and friends and jobs, you know, mm-hmm. God knows there've been jobs where I'm like, I was here way too long. I was at this particular job in the past way, way too long. Mm-hmm. And I changed too much about myself and I regretted it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like you need to do things that give you joy. At least some of the time.
Including job hopping. Because it will give you an increased salary.
Yeah.
Which is like joy.
Yeah. My point is, don't just do things that make you sad. Like, your joy is important. And it's important to get as much as you give, if not more.
Yeah. Get joy from relationships. Yeah. Get joy from friendships. Get joy from your job if you can. Or at least don't let it, you know, steal joy.
Yeah.
And job hop at least once every 2 years. For the salary adjustment.
Yeah, I hear that's a really good way to get that, to get your salary up. So, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
And have a great lunch break.
Yeah, have a great lunch break, y'all.
Thanks
Bye.
Thanks for staying with us. Bye.
This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.